Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Grace of Christ. Let's stand together for our call to worship this morning. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy.
Thank you.
usually happens when I get up here, I get a little flustered about the order of things, but you are so flexible. Thank you so much. I was reading in some devotional this week about a situation where an art critic went into the London Gallery of Art, and he was looking at this well-executed, beautiful piece of Italian Renaissance art, but he was bothered by it. Something was not quite right. There was the Madonna and the baby, and behind her was a beautiful scenery, but the mountains kind of came out more than they should. And at her feet were two saints. I can't remember who they were entirely, but they were nervous. You could see they weren't comfortable sitting there. And this man looked at this piece of art, and he looked at the name, and the artist had painted it in the 1400s. Filippino Lippini was his name. And he knew it was a grand piece of art because it was in the London Art Gallery, but he couldn't figure out why it just bothered him. So he left and he came back and again he looked at this piece of art. And it bothered him so much he started to do some research on it. And he found out that this piece of art was never intended to be in an estate or a home or even an art gallery. It was painted so that it would go in a church. And he dropped to his knees and looked up, and all of a sudden everything that was out of perspective went into glorious perspective. Seen from the knees, seen from an attitude of worship. This morning you're sitting on your tush, but think about being on your knees. Lift up your eyes to God. Send the heart there, and let's ask God to give us the right perspective. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come gathered today to celebrate who you are, what you've done, and what you expect of us. Lord, we come to worship you. Please give us the right perspective. Prepare our hearts and our minds to receive your presence. Lord, you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one and only God. Your word is personified through your Son, Jesus Christ, and you are preeminent over all things. You're the author and the perfecter of our faith and the giver of all good gifts. You're our daily guide. You are the supreme sacrifice, and you are love itself. Father, give us a deeper understanding of what all that means in our lives, and then help us to live in a manner that reflects that understanding and emulates you. Father, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts are acceptable and pleasing to you. Lord, keep us in right relationship with you and others. Thank you for residing inside us. And when our rebellious human nature usurps your position and makes itself king, then, Father, we give you permission. We ask you, we beg you, humble us, forgive us, be gracious to us, and help us to turn from those harmful ways. You and you alone are the worthy one and wise enough to be king of our lives. Keep us continually mindful of that. We ask you to be with us and bless those prayer warriors across town today who are praying specifically for Yakima. And we desire that your name is revered and glorified, not only by us, but by our community and by our nation. Enable our church, our nation, to do what is pleasing to you. Please give our leaders the grace that's necessary to learn your will and then to be obedient to it. Father, please heal our land. Bring us back to being one nation under you. Father, we also ask for specific healing for the members of our congregation who are so suffering. There are so many health challenges right now, Lord. Please guide in their recuperation and heal their ailments. Lord, we confess that we're not always mindful of you. And when that happens, our flesh rises up and we abandon what you've taught us. We take matters into our own hands. Lord, we're just going to take a few quiet moments and ask you to bring to mind any of those times recently which have not been confronted or confessed. Lord God, please accept our acknowledgement that we've not lived in a manner worthy of you. Please forgive our sinful ways. Give us a repentant heart, and then help us to walk away from those habits and pitfalls that are not in your plan for us. We thank you for your faithful love, for your mercy, and your willingness not only to forgive us, but to continually instruct us in an abundant life that brings us righteousness and pleasure to you. We thank you for the incredible sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that through him we are brought into your family. And now we repeat the words that your Son taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand and join us in singing Be Thou My Vision, number 468 in your hymnal.
Seated. And I just want to point out that we flew somebody in from Germany to help us this morning. It's good to see you, my friend. It's good to have Jason back. Yeah, blessings. He did arrive yesterday from Germany. So, yeah. So if he falls asleep during the message, give him a break. Yeah. And, I want to say the story that Roz shared and the song that we just sang fits so perfectly to what God wants us to hear this morning. I'm talking about fasting, and it really is about allowing ourselves
to have a different perspective, to get God's perspective in our lives and in our world, to get a perspective of that which is in heaven. It gives us the vision of heaven. It gives us a vision of God's calling for us in ways that prayer alone don't often accomplish. So this morning, we're going to be talking about fasting. And when I got up here at the first service, look what I found. I didn't see a $100 bill up here. Oh, there it is. So here's the irony. Tomorrow, I am going off sugar for a few weeks. So I am going to enjoy this today. And actually, as we're talking about fasting, I shouldn't tell you that I'm going off sugar. I just do it. You'll find out why. So we're going to be looking at Matthew 6 again. After last week's message, and we went through the Lord's Prayer, in my devotions this week, I was reading a little bit more in Matthew and realized, you know, prayer leads right into fasting. And so I thought maybe there's something there for us to understand. So I shelved what I was going to look at today and thought, let's take a look at fasting, because clearly I am not an expert in fasting and I don't want you to hear me as an expert in fasting. So I've spent this week just kind of learning, educating myself, looking at scripture, reading stuff, books, listening to talks. So I am not coming at you as an expert, but that we're going to learn about this together. I did fast a few times in my life doing youth ministry. We do a program called Let It Growl, where the junior high school kids would fast for 40 hours. So I was paid to fast in a sense because of that. And I really only learned one thing. Do not take food away from a teenager. They can get ornery. But no, it's the times, the little times I have spent fasting have been rich and rewarding for me. But I want to just give a disclaimer up front. When it comes to fasting, we often think of giving up food. And it doesn't have to be food. And we'll talk about that later. So if you consider fasting and giving up food, I encourage you to not take it lightly, to understand your health and your body, that giving up food may not be the way God would want you to fast right now. Talk to your doctor. There are things online that you can look at if you want to give up food, even for one meal, about how then to get back off of the fast. And some of you have probably done it and are aware of that and probably more experienced in it than I am. But I know we do have to be careful with that and make sure we don't harm ourselves. By just, you know, I don't want you leaving here and say, that's it. I'm not going to eat the rest of the day. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? So that's my disclaimer. We have it recorded in case anything happens. All right. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 16. And I'm not just stopping with Jesus' words on fasting, because it goes in beautifully into the next couple of verses. So 16 through 21. Jesus says, "When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's pray. Almighty God, I do ask that you would help us to empty ourselves this morning, to be completely dependent upon you, to listen to you intently, and to know what it is you're calling us to do in our own personal walk with you, Father. So use this time, use your word to deepen our sense of prayer, our communion with you, as we consider the spiritual discipline of fasting. For I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, before I get into our first point, I just want to say, I am not a great chef, cook of any kind. I'm not a baker whatsoever. I can put together peanut butter and jelly. I can boil water. All right, that's good for macaroni and cheese. I can barbecue. I can put a chicken or steak on the grill and do it. I can make a salad. I can make up some veggies. But it's just very blah. It's just kind of nothing really there to it. Nothing special. And I'm envious of those of you who can, at the drop of a hat, just open the cupboards, whatever is there, put together a feast. And it tastes wonderful. It's got more flavor to it. Because all along, you're cooking and you're sampling and you're tasting. And a good chef can go, it's missing this. It needs a pinch of that. I kind of feel that way when it comes to fasting. Because I'm not, as I said, I'm not an expert in it. I don't practice it a lot. There is no mandate. There's no protocol for it. But I am impressed as I continue to grow and mature in my own faith by those who I know have fasted in their life and said that they have had a breakthrough. They have been praying faithfully. They have been attending church. They've been reading their Bible, doing their devotions. But there is a sense that something is missing. And they're able to spend time fasting, giving up food for the most part or whatever else they need to take a break from. And I've heard stories and I've read about people throughout history that as prayer and fasting becomes a part of their journey of faith, there are breakthroughs. There's a clear sense of hearing God's voice. There's a deeper understanding of His will for their lives. And so there are times I think that in our prayer lives, we need to add fasting. Maybe it's just one meal. Maybe it's just one day. It doesn't have to be 40 hours. It doesn't have to be 40 days like Jesus did or Daniel. And that brings me to the first point. That fasting is a personal thing. It's between you and God. It's something done in secret, in private, Jesus says. And that's why He says, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. We don't need to allow the world to know that we are fasting. We don't need to call attention to ourselves. It's something that we do that is private in between us and God. If we do it in order to call attention to ourselves, well, it defeats the purpose of what I understand fasting is all about. Jesus, in fact, would make the opposite claim. He says, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. In other words, Jesus says, just live your life as you always do. Take a shower, brush your teeth, put on deodorant, put on clean clothes, comb your hair. Just do life as normal. You see, the ones He's talking about, those who are trying to get attention to them, it's as if they go around looking so weak and tired, kind of haggard, inviting, begging somebody to ask them, well, what's going on with you? Oh, I'm fasting for God. I'm suffering for Him. I'm too weak and too hungry. I can't even put on clean clothes or take a shower. It's as if there's a sense that they want others to know that they are more holy because they're suffering for God. They're sacrificing. They're giving up. That they're more righteous than those around them. And Jesus says that is not how you are to fast. If you just want attention from people, then go ahead, be like the hypocrites, and you'll receive whatever it is you want, and that's it. Just like in prayer, if you go on the street corners, if you offer these eloquent words in front of the public to be applauded, then that's all you're going to get. There will be no reward, no applause from heaven. The purpose of fasting is not to cause us to become more righteous. It's not meant for us to have this holier-than-thou experience. In fact, throughout Scripture, fasting has often been tied to a very contrite heart, a very humble spirit. It's been tied to a time of repentance, of seeking God's forgiveness. It's also been used, fasting, to display complete dependence upon God. Fasting has been used to seek a better understanding of who God is and who you are in His plan, to be able to hear His voice more clearly, to obey His will, and not just follow your own human desires. Fasting can prepare us for a battle that might be coming. That spiritual warfare. Fasting might be a way that God allows us to be fully equipped and empowered to do ministry. That's what Jesus did when He was in the wilderness for 40 days fasting. It was right before the beginning of His ministry. Maybe there's an important decision that has to be made. Fasting can be a way that allows us to double check with God, to make certain that what we're about to do is a part of His plan and His purpose. Fasting allows us to hear God clearly because we are not dependent upon flesh and blood. We're not just going with our gut feeling, but we actually long for and desire the groanings of the Holy Spirit. We want the depth of God's love to reach out into the depth of our souls as deep calls out to deep. Fasting is also a way to bring discipline into our lives. If all of a sudden we find ourselves out of control with the things of earth, tempting to and desiring the things of this world, that we've lost the hunger and the appetite for the things of God and of heaven. Paul writes in Romans 14:17, he says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." I think it was in one of the songs we sang this morning, but fasting is a way for us to literally empty ourselves, to make us dependent upon God to satisfy us in ways that the world cannot, to rid ourselves of that which is preventing us from seeking God and hungering and longing for Him. It's a way to allow ourselves to be dependent upon Him. And again, it's just a personal thing. It's not something mandated in Scripture. It's up to you. If you feel the desire, the prompting to fast, it's up to you to decide what you're going to fast, how you're going to fast, how long you're going to fast. But Jesus does say when you fast, literally says whenever you fast. So there is this sense that as followers of Christ, we might at least explore it. Jesus set the model when He fasted 40 days in the wilderness. So maybe there's something for us to learn from Him. And it's something so that whenever we fast, we have a certainty that this is what God is calling us to do. Not for public show, not for display, but because we have a hunger for God and things above. And that brings me to the second final point. Fasting is not just a personal thing, it's a heavenly thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's not just about giving up food. It's not just another weight loss program. It's a spiritual thing. It allows us to have a heavenly perspective in regards to the things on earth. The image that Roz gave to us earlier is even better than what I'm going to say. But I'll tell you what I was going to say, but hers was so much better than mine. You know those magic eyes, 3D images, picture drawing with a bunch of colors, maybe some images on there. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but apparently below the surface there's that 3D image. And if you're supposed to hold it here and then pull it out, but you're staring right at the middle of it, and then all of a sudden everything transforms, and it's like you're stepping into the picture. It's the same thing of getting on our knees. The picture that we're looking at, the world that we're involved in right now doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But when we get on our knees and fix our eyes above, it makes sense. Fasting can help us in that, I think. Fasting takes our eyes off of the flesh and blood and helps us encounter the spiritual element. It gives us a bigger picture, a different perspective of what's going on in our life here on earth. Fasting is a way perhaps that we allow, you know, when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That fasting is a way for us to get a taste of heaven, get a glimpse of heaven. Because there are so many things in this world that distract us, that keep us from hearing God so clearly and seeing Him so fully. Fasting helps us let go of the things of earth. And that's why Jesus goes on, and I think it fits here with fasting. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Maybe where your stomach is, where your hunger is, where your longing is, where your desire is, that's your treasure. That's your heart. Do you hunger? Do you long for? Do you thirst for the things of heaven, the things of God? Or are you filling yourself up with what the world has to give to you? Then I had to ask myself, well, if it's a spiritual thing, if it's about drawing us closer to God, if it's about listening to God more intently, why did Jesus have to fast? After all, Jesus was fully God. And yet we know He emptied Himself, took on the nature of humanity, clothed Himself in flesh. And so even Jesus was dependent upon drawing closer to God. That's why He went off to the mountaintops. And I think the recording of His temptation in the wilderness in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is for our benefit, to remind us that He identified with our humanity, that He was dependent upon God, that He needed to get on His knees, that He needed to fast. The other thing, if you look at the Gospels, In reading about the temptation story of Jesus, is that Jesus didn't say, well, you know what? I'm going to fast for 40 days. I think it's important. I've heard them talk about it in the synagogue. I've read it in the Old Testament. It's important. I'm going to fast. No, it actually says the Holy Spirit drove Him out into the wilderness. You see, Jesus in His humanity was dependent upon the Holy Spirit to guide Him and to provide for Him, to protect Him, to comfort Him. Somebody gave me an illustration in a different context that I can picture even right now. It's when a puppy is grabbed by the nape of the neck, by the mouth of the dog, of the mom, and she sets him somewhere. I almost feel like God sometimes has to get a hold of us, get our attention. It may be in our own suffering, in our own pain, in our own emptiness, in our own wilderness, that we have to be in tune with God, that we have to pay attention to what God is calling us to. And it could be that the Holy Spirit is calling you into a season, into a time, into a moment of fasting. I love what John Piper says. He says, the birthplace for Christian fasting is homesickness for God. It's when we get to that point in our lives that this world can no longer satisfy us. That we can no longer continue to feed on the scraps in this world. That we have a hunger, a longing, a homesickness for God. Like the prodigal son who knew where to go when he got to the end of himself. John Piper says half of Christian fasting is that our physical appetite is lost because our homesickness for God is so intense. The other half of fasting is that our homesickness for God is threatened because our physical appetites are so intense. You see, we allow the things of this world to consume us, to get a hold of us, to convince us that we can't live without them. That we then try to live without God. And we need to turn that around. We need to allow God to satisfy us. We need to allow God to fill us up. So that the things in this world, though they are gifts and blessings to us, are not what we are dependent upon. But that we're dependent upon God for all things. He goes on and says, John Piper, the greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie or $100,000 bars. It is not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but endless nibbling at the table of the world. It is not the X-rated video, but the prime drivel of triviality we drink in every night. You see, we get so numb in this world. And we do things to numb us, to help us forget our pain, to distract us from what's going on. But we become so numb and we start living our life on autopilot that we neglect God. That we don't receive the riches, the treasures from heaven. But as we empty ourselves, if we spend time fasting to let loose of the grip that we hold on the things in this world, then God can pour into us. God can fill us. He can give to us the peace that only He can give to us, the joy, the contentment, the love, the mercy that the things in this world cannot offer us. Now, as I said earlier, it's not just giving up food. There are many things we can fast from, take a break from, let go of, in order to draw closer to God. You might find that you need to fast from coffee or alcohol or television or social media, video games. Whatever it is that you think prevents you from feasting at the table that God has prepared for you through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's whatever the Holy Spirit is prompting you to look at as being something that is so consumed you to the point that you're not hungry for God. It might be that you have put your life on such an autopilot going through the motions that you don't even realize that you are not drawing close to God in your journey. And it may be time for you to say, you know what? I think I'll give up that one glass of wine for this week. And as I give up that one glass of wine, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to seek the Lord. Or you know what? I'm not going to binge watch TV for a month. Because, boy, I sit there for hours at the end of the day and then I'm too tired and I go to bed and I forget about God. Whatever it is in your life that is causing you to neglect God, whatever it is that you think is making you feel good, but doesn't last forever, if there's an emptiness that is still there, if there is a hunger for more of what God has for you, pay attention to that. And maybe God will just surprise you and you won't look back. It's not that you can't go back and pick up that glass of wine or go back to binge watching TV or go back to eating sugar. It's not that you have to be away from it forever. But what if somehow God radically transformed you, but you don't even desire those things anymore? because you have such a hunger and a longing for God. So here's what I want to offer you today. It's a time to just be still, to be quiet, to listen to God, to invite Him in, to ask Him to reveal to you if this is maybe a time in your life that you need to take a break from something. Maybe you're looking for a breakthrough and it's just not happening and you're tired, you're at the end of yourself. Maybe God says, hey, would you take a break from lunch and spend time in prayer with me? Whatever it is that is going on in your life, whatever battle it is that you're dealing with, maybe God is saying, add a little fasting to it. Let me stir things together and prepare a better meal than the one you've been feasting on. So would you do that? Would you just spend time silently and ask God to speak to you, to reveal to you, to show you if there's something you're holding on too tightly and you need to just let go for now in order to seek God? So Father, hear us, speak to us, meet us in our quiet place, in our secret place, in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, Lord. Speak to us. And now, Father, I pray that you would give us courage to step into whatever it is you're calling us to do. Holy Spirit, would you come and equip us and provide for us? Give us clear understanding. Lord, whatever it is you're wanting us to do to draw closer to you, whether it's fasting or not, but you've put a hunger within us for more. Help us to pay attention to that, to turn to you, to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. For it's in Christ's name I pray and give you the glory. Amen.
Our joy of giving time is when our membership and our regulars bless our church with their tithes and their offerings. Now, if you're a visitor, you'll notice that they're putting in what we call our Connect cards. And they'll put that in the offering place. And we'd like to ask you to do the same thing. Fill out your name and any information that you feel comfortable sharing and place that in the offering plate as it goes by. The Connect cards are a quick and easy way of us identifying who you are. And if you have any questions, you can write those down on the Connect card as well. And if you have any prayer requests, I can tell you that this church is a praying church. And every week, those prayers get faithfully prayed for. So if you want to have your prayer requests down there, you'll know they'll be addressed. If you have any questions, we can get the answers back to you sometime within the week. If you're looking for a church home, we'd like to hope and pray you'd consider Grace of Christ as your church. There is a connection center, which is just as you're going out the sanctuary to the left, and we have a visitor's packet that we'd like to offer you. It also includes a complimentary coffee card. Please go by and get one. I heard some exciting news this morning. I heard they're down to one, but that doesn't mean you can't get one. Just leave your name and we'll make sure that you get one if you happen to be number two as you go by. So please know that we would love to have you consider Grace of Christ as your church home. And now if the ushers will please come forward, we'll bow our heads in prayer and thank the Lord. Father, thank you so much for supplying all of our needs and more. We ask you to accept this offering, multiply it, and bless it to your good works. May this be in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
many of you are going to start a fast today? No, you're not supposed to tell us. You're not supposed to let us know. What I love about the temptation of Jesus is that the Gospels, at the end of his 40 days, it says, and he was hungry. How human did he get? At the end of 40 days, I wonder if he was hungry at all during that time until then. And I wonder if, for us, if fasting is simply go to a point where you're hungry and then stop and pray and then grab a burger and chip, whatever you want. But I wonder how long we could go until we're really hungry. And so I challenged the first service, and somebody said, now you're meddling. And so I wondered, some of us probably after church have a favorite place we like to go and have lunch. I heard a little something. Just saying. Maybe not today. Go home, pray, and wait for God to tell you what to fix and when. Now may the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the joy, the peace, and the love given to us through the Holy Spirit, set us free from the trappings of this world, that we might indeed grow, become more and more like our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless.